The Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1998 General Convention held at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The speaker for this session is Brother Joseph Panucci, whose subject is the truth. What is truth?
There are many religions in the world, and all of them claim that they have the truth. In the court of law, when a witness stands at stand with their hands on the Bible, they must swear to tell the truth. Whether they do or not is another story. Our president, Mr. Clinton, has a truth problem. He's not in hot water, he's in boiling water. In 1912, Brother Russell delegated an Italian Baptist minister to translate the first volume from the English to the Italian language, which is a masterpiece. When he completed the job of translating, he lost the job. But before he left the Baptist church, from the podium, he told the church members that if they want to know the truth, they should go see Pastor Russell. He was right. He was the pastor which, by the grace of God, brought to light three fundamental truths: the restitution, the high calling, and the Lord's presence. When Jesus was brought to the judgment hall of Pilate, in the process of questioning Jesus, the Roman governor came to the conclusion that Jesus was an innocent man and falsely accused by the Jew. He was very much impressed by Jesus' character. He did all he could to save his life. Even his wife counseled him not to have anything to do with that just man. But we know that in the plan of God, he had to die for the salvation of the world. The Lamb of God had to be sacrificed on the cross. Jesus knew very well that the prophet Isaiah, in the third chapter of the prophecy, identified him. The Lamb was brought to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. Then Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. John 18:37. Then Pilate said unto him, What is the truth? Jesus did not honor this Roman ruler with an answer, but it is fundamental and important that we know the answer to the question. And we are thankful that by the grace of God, the truth was revealed unto us. Jesus in his prayer said to his Father in the upper room, Thy word is truth. John 17:17. And it has been said, the only way to determine what is truth is through the study of the Bible. This does not mean that all who read the Bible understand the truth. As we know, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them to understand the truth. In Matthew chapter 16:13, we read, When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Brethren, flesh and blood has not revealed you the truth, but the power of the Holy Spirit reveal you the truth. Human wisdom is good in the field of human endeavor, but it has no value in understanding the truth, which is centered in Christ. The simplicity of the truth, when understood, satisfies the soul, which human wisdom cannot match. The Bible is the world best-selling book. Not only is the book for great literature, but is the truth, the Word of God. He is the author. It has been just a thing, brethren. It has been translated in the 3,850 language, covering every dialect in tribal tongue on the earth. It is preached in every corner of the earth. The Bible covers every conceivable subject: prose, poetry, mystery, biographies, science and history. Any page includes kings, statesmen, fishermen, priests, physician, tax collector, farmer, tent maker. 4 books detail the life of Jesus. But for the world in general, the Bible is a mystery book. There are many interpretations and ideas obtained to the study of the Bible. But as we know, the human mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are specially discerned, and none but the fully consecrated Christian receive the Holy Spirit to give them an understanding of the truth. In the short dialogue of Jesus and Pilate, we will concern ourselves with the statement that Jesus made to Pilate in declaring that one of the purposes of his birth was that he might bear witness to the truth. Such a declaration clearly indicates that the great truth to which he referred was his own kingship and the entire plan of God in which he was the center figure. It was the kingdom of truth which Jesus was speaking, as he declared, all who are actually of the truth are attracted by the kingdom message and by the dedication of their life to the message of the gospel, they become joint heirs with him in his kingdom. It is unto you that the truth has been revealed. Throughout the ages, millions of people read the Bible, and they also have known something of Jesus. And what is the difference between being a good and sincere Bible student or reader of the Bible and the one that had the truth? Or being in the truth? Are we more intelligent than them? Are we a better people than them? Not at all, brethren. Not at all. There is no difference. The real difference is that God has touched your heart and has called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light, the truth. You know, 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned in my testimony, I had the privilege to officiate it in my son-in-law father's funeral in the presence of two ministers and 175 people. And let me tell you what a privilege there was for me to bring the message of hope to those people. And what a privilege it is for us, dear brethren, to bring the message of hope to the world. And we are the only one consecrated Christian I have a message of hope for the world. In all the world, few indeed recognize him, the future king of the earth. And how few of them have devoted their life for the proclamation of the truth and the message of the hope of the kingdom. How glad we are that all the millions of people in the world, the Lord has opened our eyes of understanding to appreciate the truth and the plan of salvation. We believe that the work for the proclamation of the truth still continue on. And the four winds of the great time of tribulation are being held back until the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. Revelation 7, 2 and 3. And in view of the dangers of the dangerous world event and the fulfillment of the Bible prophecy, it is important that we stand fast and unmovable before the Lord and the truth. We know that for this it requires to have a quality of a patience and endurance. Waiting on the Lord has always been a test of a faith upon His people. If we feel that there is some delay in the fulfillment of our hope, we must be patient. He will not tarry. From the second epistle of Peter, 3:8-10, we learn that time is the condition of a man's thoughts and action. This is not so with God. A day with Him is 1,000 years, and He is not to be considered slow concerning the fulfillment of His promise, as a man think of slowness. Delay is simply a human conception. It cannot be applied to the operations of God's purpose. He is a faithful God. He will accomplish what He has promised in due time and according to His will. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, He appeared to His disciples to reaffirm their faith in His Father's promise, also to reveal further the divine plan for His disciples. He had a plan for them. This was very important because they labored with Jesus for 3.5 years. And in the spirit of anxiety, there's Jesus, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? For 3.5 years they walked with Jesus and did not understood the mission of Jesus. And He assured them of the hope of the kingdom. But He told them that the time and season for its establishment were in God's own power. Then He went on to tell them that they will know these things when do they receive the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them and to encourage them. Then He said to And you will be witness unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the utmost part of the earth. This was a commission given to His disciples and to His people throughout the gospel age. This is a commission given unto you and given unto me. And has been said, remember, brethren, the truth is yours not to keep, not to put under bushel, not to enjoy its beauty, and then take it with you to your grave. It is yours to cherish, to share its beauty, and to commend to other faith of a Christian. God didn't call you out of the Babylon system just to sit down and enjoy the reading of the Bible. He has called you out of the Babylon system for a reason, to share the truth with others. And what a blessing and privilege it is to share the truth with others. For us, the truth is a living reality, a power of inspiration when we begin to explain to others. When we present the message of the truth to others, it seems that we appreciate the truth, value ourselves. And brethren, in spite of our imperfection, we do our best to explain the truth to others. But God can use our imperfect testimony of the truth and transform it into a message of a power in the heart of those whom He is calling. Whether we present the truth through the radio, televisions, or printed page, let us not be discouraged, thinking that the reason that people do not respond is because of our imperfect mind and we fail some way, because this is not the case. Of all the greatest orator, no one was greater than Jesus. His marvelous words of grace and truth fell upon deaf ears, and we cannot expect that it will be different with us. But we also know that it is our responsibility to promulgate the truth. You recall that in the Old Testament, most of the time when God gave vision or spoke to His servant, it was in the nature of a commission for some service. We have a beautiful example in the life of Paul. On his way to Damascus to persecute the Lord's people, Paul saw a brilliant light that shone above the brightness of the sun. He quickly recognized the significance, and then he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" By the grace of God, we also have received the vision of a truth, and there is something for you and I to do. In giving us the vision of the truth, the Lord expects us to be obedient to its requirement. In the case of Paul, it should also be the same with us. The love of God impels him to lay down his life in the service of the truth and the brethren. And his love for God, for the truth and the brethren, cost his life in the city of ancient Rome. When we consider the great privilege of the vision of the truth, the only logical response of our heart and soul should be similar to the response of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Here I am, send me." He didn't say, "Send my cousin." He didn't say, "Send my friend." He said, "Here I am. Here am I, send me." Our response should be without any reservation and regardless of what the cost may be. We will hold nothing back from the altar sacrifice in proclaiming the love of our Heavenly Father, the message of the truth and the hope of the kingdom. And what honor this is for us. When Jesus said to Pilate that he came to bear witness to the truth, Jesus knew that his faithfulness in bearing witness to the truth will result in his death. He knew all about. We know that the hatred for Jesus was due to his faithfulness to the truth in the expulsion of Aaron. He was not persecuted because he was kind, and loving, sympathetic. Those qualities were element of his perfect life, and we should strive to copy them in our daily life and thus become more and more like our Master. It is through the witness of the truth given forth by Jesus and continued on by his consecrated Christian from generation to generation throughout the age that each and all of the prospective members of the little flock are separated from the world of darkness. Call our darkness into this marvelous light. The apostle explained that the purpose of his calling is to show forth the praise of him who had called us. And in order that we may do this faithfully, we have been chosen as a generation, royal generation, royal priesthood, and holy nation. What an honor this is. And through this chosen generation, holy nation, the knowledge of God's glory will eventually fill the earth as the water called the sea. What a great day there will be when from the least to the greatest they all know God and see the glory of God. Yes, brethren, it takes love for the truth. It takes zeal for the truth. It takes enthusiasm for the truth. And with this element in our hearts, the opportunity will come our way to present the message of the truth to someone. The important thing is not how much we can do, but our love for the truth and our determination that when the opportunity does come our way, we will be faithful in giving the message, the truth, to others. Yes, brethren, as a Bible student, we have the truth. We have the foundations. We are on solid ground. But we also must be cautious not to allow our mind to speculate on indefinite theory. It has been said, the individual segment of the truth which together make up the plan of God are those teaching or doctrine which can be proven by a thus say the Lord. We cannot possibly examine all the fundamental doctrine of the Bible that constitute what we call the truth. But two fundamental truths that bring hope and joy are the hope of the Lord's people and the salvation and hope of the world in general. And this is what we call the kingdom of God, for which has been in the mouth of all the Lord's people throughout the gospel age. This is the message, brethren, the message of the hope, the message of the gospel. The night before Jesus was crucified, he said to his disciples that he was going to go away to prepare a place for them, and that he will come again and receive them unto himself, that where he was, they might be also. John 14:3. This statement by Jesus proves that the hope of his dedicated people is to be with him and to share his heavenly glory and his divine nation, to which he was exalted when he was raised from the dead. They are to be kings, priests, and together with Jesus will bring again, restore humanity, the human race, back in harmony with God. And brethren, if you think there are 144 chairs, rocking chairs, waiting for you in the kingdom, you're going to be very disappointed. There won't be no rocking chairs in the kingdom. There is a job, big responsibility that you and I have if we are worthy with a great honor to bring back again humanity in harmony with God. What an honor this is. What a privilege this is. Another great fundamental truth of God's plan over salvation of the human race from sin and death. You remember the Apostle Peter used the word restitution. Restitution of all things. Who was lost in the Garden of Eden? He was alive that was lost, brethren. Not the Cadillac that you drive. He was alive that was lost. And there is a life to be restored. By the grace of God in Jesus our dear Master, we have come in contact with the truth and his exceeding great and precious promise. This was by his providence, and we have been invited to surrender our life. His spirits continue to work in us, blessing us with a vision of the truth and the visions of the great character of God. How many of you would like to see God? Remember, no one ever saw God. Moses heard his voice, but he didn't see God. And you and I, faithful until the end, we will see God face to face. Jesus gave us the formula when he said, "Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God." Jesus in his prayer to his Father said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. And remember, the truth has a sanctified power in our life. And remember again that every heart that receives the power will guide them in the direction of activities in the message of the truth. And remember again that if the exceeding great and precious promise of divine truth were not received in your heart, there is a danger that the heart will feed upon other things of the flesh. And you know as well as I do that the world, the flesh and the devil, will supply the things that are pleasing to the flesh. We are now living in the last days. Over the devil rulership, over the people on the earth. And it is reasonable to suppose that he will do all he can to control them under the darkness, under the power of darkness. And the Lord people have a special opportunity, a responsibility in this tragic yet wonderful time of disseminating the message of the truth to those who respond with an open heart. The vision of the true message is a manifestation of divine grace. Not only has the Lord provided us with the robe of Christ's righteousness and enable us to render acceptable service, but he also has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, indispensable in order to present the message of the truth. The power of the Holy Spirit is indispensable, brethren. Look around. In my life, I've been in many parts of the world, many places. I never in my life found anything that harmonized with the precious truth that the Lord has revealed unto you and to me. What a privilege this is, my dear brethren. We do have the message, and it was revealed unto us by the grace of God. You remember Lydia, what the Apostle Paul said? You all remember the beautiful story there? Talk about Lydia. Apostle Paul said, and the Lord touched her heart. What a beautiful expression this is. And the Lord touched her heart. Same with you, brethren. The reason why you're here today, because the Lord has touched your heart to understand the glorious truth, the hope for the world. Oh, dear brethren, are we better than anybody else? Are we better looking than other people? No, not at all. You know, I came to the United States at the age of 16. I had no intention whatsoever to come to the United States. But it was a providential. I'm going to share this little story with you. I see that the chairman is here. When my dad and Joe's father symbolized their consecrations, they sent a picture to my mom and my aunt with a robe. When my mom and my aunt saw the picture of my dad with the robe, the consecration, oh my God, she said, they became monks. Quick, go back, go to the United States to see what monastery he's in now. That's the reason I came to the United States, brethren, to get my father out of the truth, because he was a monk. Providential, isn't it? When the Lord wants to call someone, he knows the way how to bring him into the truth. But he used you. Oh, the Lord could do it himself. Is the Lord powerful enough to do that? Sure, he can do. But he used you, he used me to bring the message of the truth, of the gospel to others. May the Lord bless each heart as we are here together in this beautiful place. And we should be thankful to our brethren for the labor of love to make the beautiful convention possible. And always remember the word of a famous orator when he said, "Blessed are those who can give without remembering and take without forgetting." And so, dear brethren, we be thankful to our brethren that made this convention possible. And it was a joy to be with you, my dear brethren. May the Lord bless each heart. And we hope that the few thoughts which you have expressed from this platform be of encouragement to all of you, remembering that our responsibility to proclaim the message of the truth. Because we have the truth, we are truth people.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.